is bhakti, is devotional service, subtle sense gratification. In the sense, we say that, you know, okay, when you're eating, eat Krishna Prasad. You want to hear Hari Kirtan. You want to touch Tulsi, touch the beads. So we are erasing all, you know, Maya sense gratification to some devotional sense gratification. Devotional sense, you know, service or something, whatever you may call it. So is it now I go for a spiritual trip. Now my friends can say, hey, you just went on a trip. Instead of going to some foreign country, Malaysia or Singapore, you just went to a spiritual place and had a nice time. What have you done? It's the same thing.
Yeah, well, bhakti, I mean, the definition of bhakti is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya vilashita shunyam gana karmadi navritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Actually, bhakti begins, real bhakti begins when one surrenders to Guru, takes diksha. Then his movements and actions are actually seva. They're guru agya. He's moving under the order of Guru. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadu. Yasya prasadad nagati katobi. So if one pleases the Guru by acting to serve and please him in any number of innumerable ways, then any activities that he's doing are being accepted by him. And they're pleasing him, and he in turn is offering those activities to Krishna. So it becomes devotion, bhakti. Bhakti means that which is Krishna anukulya. Anukulyena Krishnanu. Shilanam Bhaktuttama, cultivation, Shilanam, of various activities which give pleasure to Krishna. So the question is, how do we know whether what I'm doing is giving pleasure to Krishna? Or is my activity sense gratification, or is it bhakti? So bhakti are activities which give pleasure to Krishna. So how do we know whether our activities, traveling, studying, speaking, singing, etc., touching, are giving pleasure to Krishna? That's where Guru comes in. Is it with Guru's sanction? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriyakya. My only wish is that my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. Attaching to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. Years ago in the Vrindavan temple, in the summertime, many of the devotees living there in the 1970s, in the mid-70s, you know, right after the opening, they would run off, Indian devotees would run off to Haridwar, Rishikesh, to keep cool, possibly, May and June. It's 50 degrees in Vrindavan in those days. But they would say, they would tell the temple president, they would just take off. And they say, we're going to Tirthayatri, we want to see Gangotri, Chardham, Gangotri, Jamunotri, Kedarnath, Badrinath, and get purified and go on Tirthayatra. We'll be back when in Shravan Mas. We'll come back to Vrindavan when it cools down. Just by coincidence, we're going on our Tirthayatra right now and not in the wintertime when it's so cold in Badrinath. So they asked Prabhupada, the temple president was actually complaining to Srila Prabhupada, that many devotees, Prabhupada, they leave on the plea of Tirthayatra. They go here or there. And is this good, Prabhupada? They just go, because they're not going to Delhi to watch movies. They're not going to Delhi to watch movies and play computer games or whatever people do these days. They're going on Tirthayatra, visiting the temples, taking holy bath in the Ganga. So Prabhupada said, it's funny because the temple president expected Prabhupada to give some heavy answer. This is wrong. Why'd they leave you? They didn't go without sanction. They should take permission. So Prabhupada said, this is very good. It's very good to go on Tirthayatra to get purified, visit the holy places. However, then Prabhupada himself quoted this verse from this Guru Vandanam song by, I guess, Narottam. Maybe Narottam does. He said, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. He said, are they going under the order of Guru? Has a Guru given sanction? Has he ordered them to leave their service in the temple, their deity service or cooking or whatever? Do they have the Guru's order on their head to leave and go on Tirthayatra? If they do, then very well and fine, well and good, very beneficial for them, because it's sanctioned, Guru Agya. But if it's not, then it becomes whimsical. It's whimsical and it's sense gratification. Is this my service? Is this my service? Have I been given this as my service to go on Tirtha Yatra? Like Guruji's having a Tirtha Yatra to Jagannath Puri. So he invites the students, please you come and you hear Harikatha and you visit the holy Dham, Sri Kshetra Dham. So then Guru is inviting, so if someone goes there, then they're doing seva, following the order of Guru, and they're going there for the pleasure of Guru and also to increase their attachment to Krishna by hearing about him and taking prasad and all these things, of course. The Ananda Maya Vyasat. Ananda Maya Vyasat. The soul is a pleasure seeking unit. God is a supreme enjoyer. He's Purushottam. He's a supreme enjoyer. So we are as parts and parcels. So the tendency to enjoy or to find happiness, this is natural. This is inherent to look for happiness, to avoid pain and look for happiness. This is part of the nature of the living entity. No living entity prays for pain. No living entity tries to get in a difficult situation. We always look for peace and prosperity and happiness and security. Everyone. It's a nature. So happiness is part and parcel of the soul looking for happiness. If one derives some happiness from spiritual activities, that's the blessing of Krishna. That's not our aim and objective. Our aim and objective is to serve the Lord, to please the Lord. Anukulyena Krishnanu, Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Krishna Anukulya. But when, of course, when one is not initiated and just going, maybe very whimsical what he's doing. And moreover, there's two things here. If you take any individual service, there's the order of Guru, the command or order of the Guru sending you in that direction. Then there's ways to do the service which give the most pleasure to Krishna. So if one is going on a Tirtha Yatra, then you're supposed to do certain activities in a Tirtha Yatra to please the Lord. One is you're supposed to give charity, you're supposed to give donations to the temples and residents of the holy devotee residents of the holy Dham. You're supposed to honor all the deities there, all the sacred places. You should visit and honor them and hear the Harikatha, offer obeisances and roll in the dust of those holy places, and offer prayers there. And you stay maximum 3 days in the holy place. The Shastra Niyam is the first day you're supposed to, when you get to a holy place, you're supposed to fast. First day, I think you're supposed to shave your head. It's traditionally people would do. Sometimes they go for 1 month tour of the holy places, whatever. They come to the holy place, they shave their head the first day. And then maybe second day, or first, I forget. But one day, of course, they shave their head, the men at least. Then they fast for 24 hours, and they visit all the places, and then they do Brahman Dan. They feed some Brahmins, arrange for feeding Brahmins, and give Brahman Dan. And then hear some Harikatha, meet the holy people, then by 3 days you leave. Or you take holy snan, you shave your head and take holy bath. You come to Mathura, and the first place you're supposed to go to in Mathura is Vishram Ghat. And you shave your head there at Vishram Ghat. Then you take bath there and just serve the Brahmins with some Brahman Dan. Then you take darshan of Keshavaji or Dwarkadish. There's a Dwarkadish deity there, like, old deity there. You take darshan, Dwarkadish, then Keshavaji, then Bhuteshwar, and Rangeshwar, and Pipaleshwar, Mahadev. Then you go on like this. So there's some system of doing yatras. But the whole meditation is that I'm doing this. First of all, it should be order of Guru. And then I'm doing this yatra. I'm not going to try to enjoy. Like, for example, people come from Delhi. And when they come back from Delhi, their friends, they say, oh, did you see, you had darshan, Vihariji darshan? They say, yes. The next question they ask, did you take lassi? Did you get a Vihariji lassi with the malai on it and rose water and malai? And oh, I had two or three. They're very good. It was so cold that day. I had 3, 4, 5. Too good. Oh, and no, there's a good shop on the other side. Did you go to this shop? They speak for 2, 3 hours about lassi. So this is obviously their motivation to come to Vrindavan is sense gratification. Primarily, and darshan is secondary. Did you have darshan of lassi? I mean, Monkey Bihari? I mean, this is the thing. They I mean, I've gone many times to see Vanki Vihari, but I never bought the lassi. I never ate the lassi because, you know, we're devotees, we're not supposed to eat in public, first of all. And whatever we eat is supposed to be offered to Krishna first. It's not we hold it up in the sky. We hold it up in the sky and offer it to the universal Lord. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Or like they used to say sometimes, they used to make a joke and say, Om Tat Sat, dear God, thanks a lot. You know, and that was the offering. You take some bhog and say, Om. You pick up some bhog, some lassi or some dry fruits or something. You pick it up and you hold it in the sky and say, Om Tat Sat, dear God, thanks a lot. Then you eat it. I heard this joke when I was in Sankirtan 30 years ago. But that's not really bhakti, and that's not really devotion. That's just enjoying. Not buy some article, buy a nice thing, take it home, prepare it, offer it to the deity, the tulsi and everything. And then honor the prasad. So in the course of honoring the prasad and trying to please the Lord by prasad seva, or in the course of chanting the holy name in kirtan, or hearing harikata, or studying, if our senses become happy, or become pacified, or become peaceful, that's the mercy of Krishna and Guru. That's the blessing of Krishna and Guru. We're not seeking that. That's not the objective. We're not seeking our personal happiness, but we're seeking the personal happiness of Guru and Krishna. This is bhakti. We're acting, thinking, speaking, touching, feeling, walking, moving, everything to give pleasure to Krishna, to give pleasure to Guru, Sri Guru, Sakshat Hari. Naturally, pleasure will come. That's the nature. Everything's based on ras. If there's no taste, how can you keep eating? Someone gives you some dry, tasteless, stale food. How much will you eat? Nothing. You say, oh, I'm not hungry. I lost my appetite. I don't want to do this anymore. So if you're not getting any taste from devotion, then you'll say, oh, I'm dry. It doesn't taste good. I don't want it. I won't do it anymore. You'll stop. But this is ocean. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasamrita Amrita Sindhu. Bhakti Ras is like nectar. It's what kind of nectar? Is it a drop of nectar? Amrit Bindu? It's Amrit Sindhu. It's an ocean. And what kind of ocean? Most oceans have a border. There's an ocean in Bombay called Arabian Sea. Like ocean, sea, whatever. And it doesn't go very far. It comes and goes on the beach, and high tide, low tide. If it comes 500 feet inside, then everyone's finished. There's no Bombay. So it doesn't expand its borders. It stays within the limitation of its borders. This is the nature of the ocean. Because ocean is water, and water means ras. Ras, you can, ocean has a taste. It's called lavanya. Lavanya ras. Lavanya means salt. Lavan. I think Bengali, they say lavan or something, means salt. We say namak. So this is a salty ras. Ras means liquid or taste. So the taste of this liquid is salty. But the bhakti ras is sweet, amrit. It's sweet, it's nectar, it's madhur, and it by tasting that one becomes eternal. Amrityu. Amrityu. Mrityu means death. Amrityu means without or taking away. So by engaging in bhakti and tasting bhakti ras, one becomes deathless. One enters the eternal kingdom, nityadham, the eternal kingdom of braja, brajadham, golokadham. But there's a speciality of the ocean of bhakti. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu. What is that speciality? Anandambudi vardhanam pratipadam purnamridas vardhanam. It is anandambudi. Ambudi means ocean. Ananda means bliss. Ananda ambudi. Vardhanam means increase. It always increases. There's no border. There's no limit. There's no confines or end. Ananta rupam, ananta namam, ananta lilam. Ananta Sevam, there's unlimited services. Krishna has unlimited names, unlimited forms. Ananta Rupam, Ananta Lilam. The Lilas are never the same 2 days in a row. He takes the cows out every day, but each day is different. Unlimited variety, pleasure, taste, satisfaction. So bhakti is the most tasty activity available to the living entity. Because it's transcendental. It's connected with the ocean of taste. Krishna's Rasaraj. He's an ocean of taste. He's ocean of rasa.